sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Good Friday, April 18th, 2025 edition. Your Defending Fathers with Chuck or Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us as usual, Pastor Chatfield's on the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, I wanted you to take a moment before you get into your lesson plan, Benjamin Franklin's speech at the Constitutional Convention. I wanted you to explain to people, maybe perhaps not really churchgoers, maybe not even believers, people that have never really figured out or realized or learned what Good Friday is all about. Explain that to everybody. What is Good Friday, Holy Friday?
Okay. Good Friday is a day a couple thousand years ago that most people believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. When I say most people, most Christians, although there is, in case you care, there's a segment of people that are more convinced that he died on a Wednesday or a Thursday. But the historic traditional view is he died on a Friday and was buried. He was in the grave all day Saturday, the beginning of the third day. On the third day, he rose again from the dead on Sunday. Hence, this is called, you know, we call this Easter Sunday, or you can call it Resurrection Sunday. It's taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are called the four Gospels. It's taught again in Acts, because they went out and they preached the Gospel. Jesus said before he went back up into heaven after his resurrection, go into all the world and preach the Gospel to every creature. The Gospel is the message that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the essence of the entire Bible. It's the Gospel. Every time I hand out a gospel tract, I tell people that God loves you. He sent his son Jesus. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life. He voluntarily gave himself up to die on the cross for the sins of the world. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. And now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Turn from your sin. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him. And in him only is your only hope of salvation. That's the Gospel. Central message of the entire Bible is the Gospel message, defined in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. It's the power of God unto salvation. Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith." You need to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in faith, the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Have I seen the Lord Jesus Christ? No, but I believe, and you have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Again, Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." It's not just an intellectual assent to that, but it starts with that. Yeah, you believe that he died, was buried, he rose again from the dead, and then you put your faith in him, trust him. And there's ample evidence. Acts chapter 1, the Bible says that he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. I mean, he showed himself alive. So he's alive today. And you need to believe that. And you have to believe it to be saved. Otherwise, the Savior of the world will be your judge. And he'll say to all those who reject the gospel, depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I mean, the gospel is the central message. That's why we pass out gospel tracts. Believe the gospel.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good. Excellent points. Books and verses right there from Pastor Chatfield. We'll continue. Short break. A word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north. And you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
Remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the Gun Doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the Gun Doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
Did you know annuities are contracts, not investments, such as mutual funds? I illustrate to my clients what an annuity will do, not might do. It's all about guarantees. This is what is unique about annuities. They transfer the risk to the carrier to pay for the rest of your life. No other product on the planet can do that. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890, serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that little light shines all around us.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into this Good Friday history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Pastor Chatfield, I got a question for you that I have never found in Scripture. I've never heard a sermon on it. I've never heard a pastor speak about this, and it might be a little bit of a curveball, but you're a former baseball player. You can hit this.
I could never hit a curve, man. I could only hit fastballs.
Fastball
whatever.
Only?
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. That's why you never played for the Tigers. Okay,
yes,
got it.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Kind of acting a little bit like Javi Baez for the Tigers right now. Javi can't hit a curve either. But anyway, when did Jesus realize his eventual death? When did he realize the plan? When did he realize in his human life, human form, when did he come to consciousness of knowing that, you know, he was going to choose his disciples, he was going to lead this rebellion against the Jewish faith leaders, turn over the money tables there in the temple during Passover, and rebel and be betrayed by Judas and be crucified and die? When did he as a human person realize that plan that God had sent him here to earth for?
Well, first, I would argue it's not a rebellion. He was God the Son. He was all authority. He didn't rebel against the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin. They rebelled against God, and he pointed it out. So I would not characterize that he came for rebellion, either against the Sanhedrin or the Romans.
The good point. I stand corrected. That's a very good way of saying it.
We do know this. When he was 12 years old in Luke chapter 2, he went to the feast and with a group of relatives. They all left, and he hung around, and his parents finally found him in the temple after 3 days, hearing what the doctors of the law were saying and asking them questions. The Bible says everybody was amazed at his understanding and his answers. He was at 12 years old, and Mary said, "Hey, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have sought thee souring." And then the Lord Jesus said to Mary, his mother, "Why did you seek me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business?" In other words, he knew at that point, he knew who he was at 12 years old.
12 years old.
He knew who he was. Now, before that, when did he, in his human understanding, did he know? I don't know exactly.
It's nowhere in the Bible that when he was a young 5-6-year-old playing with his cousin John the Baptist, he didn't realize it that early. But that specific 12-year-old scene, as was replayed in The Chosen, Mary was frantic. 3 days she couldn't find him, and she kept calling him out. And he comes around the corner with Joseph, and it's like, "What?" And he's like, "Well, where were you?" And Joseph kind of looks up over his shoulder at the temple, and "You were in the temple?" And he's like, "Mary, you wouldn't believe what he was saying and what he was talking about." That is actually in Scripture. That is actually part of what you just described. Let me ask you this. How was he given an opportunity to engage in the temple? As a 12-year-old, what did they have, like open forum and open format? How was it that he came to speak and interact with those folks in the temple?
We do not know. The Bible does not say. Let me add this. There are what we call the Gnostics. The Gnosticism was one of the first heresies in the church. And there's a lot of false gospels out there. In other words, there's other, besides Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there were other people wrote stories of Jesus. And if you ever watched the History Channel, the program called Banned from the Bible, there are a lot of purportedly gospel records of Jesus that were never accepted by the church and were not the Word of God. We accept Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right. Christianity does. But, I mean, in those stories, there was a story that he saw a fallen sparrow and he touched it and healed it. That's not true. No knowledge that that's true. We only know what the Bible says, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Absolutely.
That's what we know.
I understand that. I understand.
But there's a lot of other
recollections.
And there might be, it's within the realm of possibility, some of them are true, but they're not the Word of God, and we don't know they're true.
Right.
Now, those that contradict anything in the rest of the Bible, we know are not true. But we don't study that. They're what we call apocryphal. There's a lot of apocryphal writings that about the Lord Jesus, supposedly. And there's lots of other apocryphal letters that were circulating. They were purportedly written by Alexander or Paul or somebody, anybody, Apollos. But they were never accepted. And so that's important to know that. That's why I wouldn't even watch. I don't even watch banned from the Bible or such things. It just tends to confuse people. Sure. We have the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And that, in Luke chapter 2, is the only thing we know about the Lord since the time of his birth, early life, until the time that he gets presented and comes to John the Baptist and gets baptized. And in the first miracle in John 2, where he turns the water into wine. Nothing else, really. It's silent. So you can't believe anything else.
Got it. Now, I have a question about Mark. In The Chosen, this new character appeared in season 5 named Mark. Who was Mark?
Sister son to Barnabas. Mark was Barnabas's nephew, who was a companion of Paul in the early missionary writing. He was also, he was mentioned in the Gospels. And he wrote Mark, okay?
Right.
And he started in the first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. They got kind of discouraged and went home, but later he rejoins them. That's who Mark is. And he grew up, he was much younger than the apostles, and he grew up around the apostles. I've watched some of this, The Chosen, but I mean, everything else, you give somebody artistic license, I suppose. We don't know much about...
No, it's entertainment. That's all it is.
Yes.
It's a TV show. That's all.
Yes. Yes. Yep. But he was around the Lord Jesus. That we know. But what he did, said, we don't know anything. But he did write, under the guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Gospel of Mark.
Got it. And who was Paul before he became Paul?
Well, okay. He was Saul. That's the Hebrew name for Paul. Paul, okay, is simply the Greek name. Same person, just Saul. Before he got saved, generally he was known as Saul. After he got saved, generally he was known as Paul.
Right.
Same person.
Now, is it true that he as Saul, that he actually arrested or killed any believers of Jesus before he saw Jesus, and when arisen Jesus, when he saw him after his death, he became saved at that point. He became a believer, if you will, and that's where he went from Saul to Paul. Is that an accurate?
Yes. I mean, he arrested church leaders. He had orders from the high priest, and he went around everywhere arresting people. Then the Lord appeared to him in Acts chapter, I think it's 8, on the road to Damascus, and appeared to Paul, and he believed, and he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." Paul said, "Well, what would thou hast me to do? Go, and I'll tell you what to do." And he led him to a guy named Ananias, who explained the scriptures to him. His eyes were open, and immediately Paul began to preach the gospel, that the faith in which he once persecuted, now he now preached.
Yeah,
and when he first got saved, a lot of the Christians didn't believe he was a disciple because they're like, "Whoa, this is the same guy who was trying to arrest us and take our freedom." And he was there when Stephen was stoned.
Mm.
Paul was, was, you know, so he was a part of that. But when he got saved, he got radically, radically saved and became a great missionary, the first missionary. And much of the New Testament, as you know, was written by the Apostle Paul.
Did he attempt to arrest any of the disciples?
We have no record of that specifically. But
okay.
But I'm sure that they had heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
And Barnabas had to kind of introduce Paul to the apostles and say, "This guy's a true believer." And he introduced Paul to the church and churches so that they would believe he was a disciple.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, because one of the things that I'm excited about is season 5, which is at the theaters right now, ends with the betrayal by Judas. And it goes, this next season, which they just started shooting, season 6, is all about the trial and the actual crucifixion, the actual death hanging on the cross of Calvary. Well, let me ask you this question. In this process, do you believe that this Holy Week actually happened as a week? Is this factually accurate?
Yes. This is one thing we can say is accurate on our dates, because we know when the Passover was, and we know that the Lord Jesus was crucified on Passover weekend. That we know.
It did happen.
Yes.
It is actual.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I didn't know if they took any artistic creativity with that portion, the way they laid this season 5, all about Holy Week, him riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and that whole thing,
yes.
You know, Palm Sunday.
Yes. I was just there, you know, a month ago.
Yes.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah,
that's why I wanted to talk about it with you.
Mount of Olives and the whole thing was pretty pretty big deal. A lot of things we really do know exactly when and where. Other things we're not so sure. But we know the Bible's true. And that's
Let me ask you this. When you were there, and you were actually literally standing where this historical event took place, was it surreal? Did you like, wow, this is amazing. I'm standing on the actual place on planet Earth where this occurred. Did it kind of give you some heebie-jeebies?
In a word, no, it did not. And I'm unusual. Most of the other guys think, wow, look, you come unto God through Jesus Christ, the one who died for you, is buried, and rose again. Whether you're in, you know, Torch Lake or Petoskey, no, when you call upon the name of the Lord, God the Holy Spirit, when you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, and you trust in him and him only is your only hope of salvation, God the Holy Spirit comes in and possesses you, and that is, you're born again. That is as real right here as it can be when you're standing on the Mount of Olives. So it was cool. It was nice, but I didn't get any overwhelming thing, because I get overwhelming things anywhere you are. Because
right.
Listen, when you become a Christian, Christ dwells in you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I'm kind of the minority. The other preachers I were with are saying, wow, all the places we went. And I thought, yeah, this is nice. This is educational. That's good.
Yep.
But it wasn't.
Well, you see, you're a historian, though. You look at things from a historical perspective. When, like, for example, the battlegrounds, the battle sites for the war, the Revolutionary War. You've been there, and you've been all over Virginia and different places.
Right.
You experience things in the real world as saying, this is just part of history. I'm at where history occurred, basically.
The irony of this is, I was talking to my son about this, is I get more moved at Gettysburg. Why? Because I can't get moved to Gettysburg here, where I'm up in northern Michigan.
Right.
When you go to Gettysburg, wow, this is where the battle, Little Round Top. This is Devil's Den. This is where the last charge came, Pickett's charge. Wow.
Yep.
But I can get in touch with God right here, right now, through his word and the Spirit of God.
Amen. Wherever you're at.
Right.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to get to your Constitutional Convention speech, Benjamin Franklin. Bomb the Hour News. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, Michigan's leading news provider, delivering real, honest news.